up with another exciting episode live from the 405. I'm running late now. Well, I said the same. This started out the same way last week because, well, you guys are going to just get real excited about this one. I'm trying to order fucking making t-shirts, right? For the, oh, God damn it. Hang on. I got to put my fucking seatbelt on. Son of a bitch. I had to pull over and change the fucking batteries because the fucking batteries were dead. Hang on. God damn it. Oh, what a fucking bad opening. Hang in there. Hang on. I went to order a shirt and I put this design together. It's slow at work, so I'm getting goddamn creative. Doing all kinds of, just getting shit done. Drinking a fucking lot of coffee. By the way, I switched to black coffee, which tastes like shit. Black coffee is terrible. Holy fuck. It's the only time I've ever openly enjoyed Starbucks, because I can drink Starbucks black because it tastes like something. Normally it's too bitter. I was never a fan of it. We have a Keurig machine at work, and we have either Dunkin' Donuts Keurig shots, or we also have Starbucks, because the other guy drinks Starbucks. I always drink Dunkin' Donuts. But black, it all tastes the same. It just tastes like crap. I know everyone's like, Luke, why are you drinking black coffee? I know you like it with a lot of cream and sugar, but if you don't like it black, then why are you drinking it? Because I put way too much fucking cream and sugar in my coffee, like just ridiculous amounts, and I'm drinking more and more every day, and I can't keep fucking doing that because it's gonna ruin my fucking teeth and shoot my nerves. Cool, just fucking pull out right in front of me, you fucking asshole! All this piece of shit. I almost fucking rear-ended this son of a bitch. I'm drinking more and more a day, so I can't drink cup after cup full of fucking cream and sugar like that. So I liken it to drinking. Now, I like a fucking Jim Beam and Coke, but I really don't like Jim Beam straight out of the bottle. So you're like, well, then why do you drink Jim Beam straight out of the bottle? Because it gets me drunk faster. It gets the job done. So I'll drink black coffee because it works faster. And, it's less bad for me. But, dude, it's so hard to drink out of, like, when you get, like, from 7-Eleven, it's just got that little hole that you sip it out of. I fucking burned my mouth nine times, because fucking, it's so fucking hot, and I'm not used to it. Like, normally it's cream and sugar, it immediately cools the coffee down. Black, it's like it just came out of the fucking devil's asshole. I burn my tongue, like, every day. I'm like, fuck! I try so hard, like, so I go to sip out of it so fucking gingerly, and it's still, like, the second it touches, there's, like, fucking smoke comes off my tongue. Like when I lick a hot chick's pussy. But, where was I going with this? More creative, yeah. So I've been writing more, and I'm fucking banging through this goddamn screenplay. Coffee helps me write. So now I'm drinking like fucking 3-4 cups a day, because it's slow. I'm just sitting around fucking writing. Right in front of my boss, which is bad. There's nothing to do. I don't know. I mean, I could like take stuff out and clean it. But it's been like this for like a month and a half. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Take out our whole fucking inventory daily and like... I don't know. It's starting to pick up now. We're starting to get some jobs in. But today I designed a whole bunch of shit and fucking pump up the show a little bit because I'm starting to get into it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe the show will be around for a while. So I got some fucking little business cards that are more like promo. They're not like, here you go. Have your people call my people. You just leave them around. You give them to people. You know, you give them to fucking girls that you want to fucking say, don't ever listen to this ever. Which Mr. B had a little problem with that. He got a little taste of the old fucking Lukester, the old fucking Angel's Revenge. If you listen to Liquor License, he got in some shit for talking to, I don't know if he talked about it, I haven't heard a show yet, but I'm pretty sure he did. Oh, God. I don't know how the fuck how would she have heard the show? She doesn't know anything about it. She doesn't listen to any podcasts. I don't think he ever, unless he drunkenly mentioned it to her, I don't know. But so I make this design for a t-shirt for the show. I'll probably just end up giving them away. It's, you know, whatever. It's a promotional thing. But I had this cool design, and it had the logo had a fucking, it was like a Blade Runner font. It was really cool. So I put the design in, and they emailed me back like 3 hours later, and they're like, we can't use this design because it's copyrighted. Now, I like Google image searched it, and it's like Getty Images. It's a picture of, it's a fucking cool picture. I like the way it's, whatever lens they use. I like the fucking, the depth of field and shit on it. It looks really cool. So I really wanted it. So they're like, well, we can't use this unless, you get the guy's permission or you know, permission from who owns a picture. I'm like, fuck. So I find the guy. They found his name and everything, this company. So I track him down and I hit him up. And I'm like, you know, I tell him the situation. I'm like, I'm probably never going to sell these. I'm not going to make any fucking money. It's just a dumb podcast I do for free. There's no budget or nothing. So if you're cool with it, can I use your thing? So like 4 or 5 hours go by. The guy doesn't write me back. So I'm like, this dude's not going to, this could be fucking days for all I know that he's going to write me back. I'm talking days. Takes a long time to get permission for it. So I start fucking around on this other site, Zazzle, which they have a lot of fucking cool shirts. I hope this doesn't kill the audio. It's fucking, you know what? No, I'm just going to put the fucking air conditioning. It's a weird temperature out today. It's cold, but it's not cold. It's cold out. It's not cold inside my car. They have cool shirts and shit there. I bought shirts from them before that they make themselves, like real weird kind of movie, like just really weird movie reference shirts, like just weird stuff, or like, I don't know, you know, it, like cool, it's unique. So I start fucking on there, and like theirs is way better. They give me no shit about the copyright, and they're gonna give me a fucking I tell them the situation. I'm like, I want to, because I can't see it in person, I want to do like a proof. And if I like the shirt, then I'll come back and order like 10. And she's like, all right, well, check this out. I'll give you 50% off, and I'll expedite your shipping for free, because I'll give you a promo code that you can get your whole fucking order of shirts for 50% off if you do it by the 23rd of January. And I'm like, well, okay, well, get this fucker to me. And if I like it, I'll do it, because it's cheaper and it's a better design than the other thing anyway. So these fucking dopes, while they sat there, what are the fucking odds that, like, what is it going to be, a billion-dollar lawsuit? Because of fucking, I used a picture some guy took. They're so dumb. So how much money does this other company must lose daily because they don't have 100% fucking permission to use the picture? What fucking dopes? So I fucking email back. I'm like, hey, dopes, I found a better shirt cheaper elsewhere. Bye. Fucking refund my money, please. Bye. So, but this, now I was on hold. I don't know why I'm giving you so many fucking details. I'm sorry. I was on hold with this new company to try to get through to customer service because there's bulk orders. But it doesn't give you options to give different. It only gives you the option to pick one size for bulk order. I'm like, no, I need some fucking large and extra large. So I'm trying to call them to figure out if that's an option. And I was on hold for like 20 goddamn minutes because I'm trying to get the fuck out of there on time so I can get everything done tonight and make it to the mic by 10 o'clock. Because I'm 0 for 3 right now. 3 fucking mics in a row I didn't get called. I'm like, God damn, it's fucking killing me. I got a new set about 3.5 minutes about eating pussy. And I have not been able to get up and do it yet. It's breaking my fucking heart. So, long story short, I got that shirt ordered, and I should have it soon. So, if it's good, I'll have shirts. That was a real long way to go to get to that basic non-point. Here's another non-point. Yesterday, I'm sitting at work. Some dude shows up looking for he's looking for my fucking boss. Should he bring his fucking tools? I sell cars, Paul. This guy's like, hey, he's kind of like not like a suit, but, you know, business casual. So, okay, is John here? I'm like, oh, yeah, he's upstairs. You know, people kind of come in out all day. My fucking boss hangs around there and, like, just meets it all. You know, all kinds of random people come in to see him because this fucking dude's like a rock star. Smalls, Leonard Smalls, rides a Harley, dresses like a rock star. So, I don't think anything of it. The next day, the other dude that works there is like, oh, did, I forget the guy's name. He's like, hey, did Jimmy show up yesterday? Did you see him? And I was like, yeah. He's like, did you recognize that guy? And I was like, no. He's like, you don't fucking recognize who that dude was? And I was like, no, I just kind of saw him real quick. He's like, it's fucking Josh Baskin from Big. Like the actual kid from the movie. I was like, get the fuck out. And then I remembered his face and I was like, holy shit, it was him. So he's like a director or producer or something. And he's making something. He might have my fucking boss shoot it. I was like, what the fuck? How fucking random is that? I was so bummed that I thought I would run up and be like, oh, you're a dude from Big. But like, it would have been kind of cool to know and be like, there he is. You know? No, I had no idea. I found out like the next day. That's fucking hilarious. So I don't know. I guess my boss might be working with him. Yeah, speaking of along those lines, I'll do these and I'll fucking listen back and there'll be so many details and shit. Like, I'll just write like a broad bullet point and be like, oh yeah, I'll remember fucking this, this, and this. And I'll go back and listen to this fucking thing and I'll be like, God damn it, I missed so many details. It really annoys me. But, so last week, this cinematographer, Vilmos Zsigmond, died, who's like a pretty famous, he did a lot of early Spielberg movies. He did like Close Encounters. Did he do Deliverance? He did a lot of classic fucking Hollywood movies. I think he did Scarface. I don't know, look at Vilmos Zsigmond. He was famous. But he died. And so my boss's dad, the older guy, my favorite person, he worked for him from minute one. He got him like long story short, I wouldn't, like, I've never met this dude. He was at, I say that a lot, long story short, and they're never fucking short. All the years I worked at Panavision, I just missed this guy so many fucking times, it was ridiculous. Like, one time I missed him by like a minute. So like, oh, Vilmish was just here. I was like, what the fuck, really? And like, now this, he's like family friends with my fucking boss. And I just, they were just never like around at the same time because he's always like out and about or whatever. And I just never got to meet him. And the fucking guy died. That's fucking bummed me out. But I was just thinking, like, I never met this dude, and like, the impact this guy had on my life. It's one of those things, like, if he went back and killed Hitler, it's like, I wouldn't be like, if he was killed in like 1980 or whatever, like, my life could be drastically different. Cause like, he's the one that got my boss going in the business, cause they did fucking Sugar Land Express, which Spielberg's first movie together. And like, that's where they hooked up. And that's like how my boss got working and stayed, and then moved up to be a DP and everything. And then he had his kid, and his kid grew up to be a camera guy. Then they ended up getting in business together and opening this fucking camera house. But it's like, none of this would have started or gotten going if it wasn't for fucking Vilmish. It's just weird. It's just weird. Like, from like, laterally, how much he like influenced me. I was like, God damn it. This fucking stinks that I never got to see the dude. And then there's this crazy story about how now Laszlo Kovacs, I'm a bigger fan of than Vilmos, but they came over from, I think, Hungary together because they fucking needed a snack, those fucking freaks. But there's this famous story about, they made a movie or a documentary about it. So Vilmos and Laszlo Kovacs, who shot Ghostbusters, he shot a ton of classic movies too. So they were like film students together, and some like revolution happened, and there was like a massacre or something, and both of those guys took their film cameras from, I think they were in film school or something, and they filmed this fucking revolution, or they filmed the revolution, and they filmed some kind of like shit that the government didn't want them to have, and they were after them. So they were on some kind of like black, they're like some like blacklist to like find their fucking film and kill them. So they had to get out of the country. And like, there's some like legendary story that they had to like meet each other on this like dark bridge one night. They like had the footage, and they were gonna like die for this footage. Like, no fucking way, we're not giving it up. Well, I think they would have known, they would probably got killed anyways, but they wanted to get out of there with the footage. And they had to split up and then like meet on some like, it was like Bridge of Spies shit. They had to like meet on this dark bridge, and they didn't know if it was each other. Like, they were like walking across the bridge for each other, and they didn't know. It could have been like a government fucking agent coming to kill them, you know what I mean? But it turned out to be, you know, it turned out good, and they escaped together. And like that, then that, I mean, that was the only fucking footage of this thing. And the whole world got, it like changed, it made a big impact once like Reuters and shit got a hold of it. The images were all over the place. It's pretty cool. But Laszlo, I got to go to his house one time. I don't know if I ever told the story on LGR, but I was working at Panavision, and this is actually, I'm related to Nervous Mark, who shoots our movies for him. His uncle Phil was one of the big marketing guys, and I was only at Panavision for like, I don't know, a couple months, 2-3 months. And like, when you work there, you work in, this is literally enough for a whole podcast if I just talked about my Panavision when I was a fucking just delivery driver. And I would just drive around and go to all the studios. My job was to drive around and go to every fucking studio and walk on the sets of shows like 2 1/2 Men and just walk around on set and shit and see Charlie Sheen. Every fucking day I saw like every movie star you could think of. Just like casually, just hang out, drop shit off. Anyways, so as a delivery driver, they needed a favor. Now, because Laszlo's a big gun and he's a client of theirs, they'll do favors, they'll do shit for him. Like, one time I had to mail something personal for fucking Spielberg, and they're like, do not fuck this up. This is Spielberg. This is his fucking thing. If anything happens to it, we're in deep shit. Like, this kind of stuff. But, so they needed me to go to Laszlo's house because he forgot his fucking DVDs or something. He had a box of DVDs, I think, of movies he shot. And he was at some, like, fucking film festival or something, and he needed them, and he didn't have them. And he had to get them, like, FedEx overnight or something like that. So, when he packed and left, he left this box of DVDs at his place. So, because I used to wear Laszlo shot Easy Rider. You know, fucking classic goddamn movie. So that made that dude's bones. And they needed someone to go. So Phil, the marketing rep, who's Nervous Mark's uncle, goes, send somebody to, we needed a runner to go to Vilmos' house. And my old boss, Darlene, she's like, who do you want me to send? And he goes, send the kid that wears the Easy Rider shirt all the time, because he was probably a fan. And I was like, yes, I am. So I go to his house up in the hills, and I have to call Laszlo on the phone, the actual guy, Oscar-winning fucking DP, right? This guy's like a legend. And he has to, like, navigate me through his fucking house. He lived up by the Hollywood sign. It was really hard to get to, and I was in this big-ass fucking Panavision van. And he's like, oh, hello. He's like, yes, go in the bedroom and find a box, and a box full of DVDs. And he's like, bring that one back and ship that to me if you can, like, first overnight, quick. He's like, and he was, like, just laughing. He's like, yeah, I totally fucked up and forgot him. He's like, and I'm going to have a bunch of people here. I won't have any of my clips or something along those lines. And I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm, like, a fucking big fan. So if you ever... he was in, like, Vermont or something. I was like, if you ever come to Panavision, man, say hi. I'd love to meet you. He's like, yeah, yeah, great. Never met him. He died, like, 6 months later. Like, just, like, so, like, out of nowhere. He had, like, a fucking heart attack and croaked. But the best part was I went in his kitchen on his fucking fridge. And I, at the time, I had a camera assistant card, like, when I, like, second AC when I used to do, like, the scene one, take two, slate. And I'd hit the thing, like, when I actually worked on sets. And I took it, and I fucking, under a magnet, under a picture of, like, him and Spielberg and, like, George Lucas... at like a festival, like an actual fucking Polaroid he took and printed up. I tacked my stupid camera assistant card right underneath there on his fridge. I never heard nothing about it. He wasn't like, oh, you rascal. But yeah, no, I never heard from him again. And he died as people do. I mean, you live to the end of your life. You have a good run. And sometimes, you know, your ticker just quits and you keel over and croak. It's a tragedy, but what are you going to do? They say God needed a cinematographer. I really hate when people say shit like that. Like when a famous race car driver dies, they say God needed a driver. Did he? I mean, why would God have to get into a car? He could just teleport. Anyways, that's my fairly boring fucking Laszlo story I didn't get to last week. Aren't you glad I remembered it? I really just tickled your fucking eardrums, didn't it? Okay, so I don't want to bury the lead. I'm going to talk about this fucking chick. Now, when last I left you, I met this young lady last week on Saturday night. Or should I say, Scott met her, and she found out Scott was married and said, okay, I'll default to this shithead with the crooked nose. So I you know, we go home. I fucked. I didn't do a very good fucking job. So that was Sunday night. Now, we talked all week, and it was going pretty good. She was funny, and she was a little fucking pissbot. And she was, I guess I could say she was cooler on text than she was in real life. She seemed like a lot more fun and easier to deal with. I'm like, oh, maybe she lightened up. Maybe it was a facade. So Saturday night, I'm gonna go see her at fucking Santa Barbara. Hang on, I'm taking a drink. I'm going to see her in Santa Barbara, fucking hour, 80 fucking miles away. Now I know what you're saying, Luke, why ain't gonna drive all that way? Because she had a, like I said last time, she was great, great pussy. I really wanted to fuck her in. And plus, like, it's just fun to go and do weird shit like that now and again. I'm like, what the fuck? I haven't been to Santa Barbara in years. And on the way, I passed that fucking hotel. I'll never forget this hotel. I doubt Dude Bogue's listening, but it was like a Best Western or whatever. When we were working on that Design Star, the fucking reality show. And we were all putting that. We were just the scourge of that hotel because we were every fucking night, the whole crew, just Pete and all those guys at Red Bogue's birthday party and shit. Just fucking hard party. That whole company was hard partiers. It was all kids. But, and everyone just had way too much fucking money. Everyone, except me, I didn't make shit. But everyone else, I mean, once you moved up, which I was working on and really busted my ass, that was a fucking tough show. Those home design shows, I mean, you're just humping fucking. I mean, you already got to be the grip electric guy, and then you're like dragging like drywall and like cleaning out piles of fucking ripped up wall. You know, it was a lot of physical labor. It was tough, but, so we were out there doing military bases for this one episode, and they put us up in there, and just every night we'd all go back in the bar and just fucking crazy, just like loud, just loud, crazy. I mean, a lot of them were like East Coast New Yorkers and shit too, so they didn't give a shit. And then the one dude, Eric, every night would get on the fucking piano and he could play, and he would start playing songs, and we would start fucking singing like a bunch of fucking drunk pirates. And like two or three times, the goddamn, the staff fucking hated us. I roomed with Shaka. I still remember that. Me and Shaka split a room. And I think it was the only time I ever got put up. Was it? Yeah. No, Mission Impossible 3 put me up out in Palmdale, too. But every night, the fucking poor manager would come out. And, like, he'd be yelling for, like, 2.5, 3 minutes before. We were so loud. You'd kind of just hear this voice, like, underneath everything. Like, what? Is it someone talking? But please, please, everyone's like, please stop making so much noise. Like, the entire hotel is complaining, please don't make me, like, call the police. Every fucking night, this poor guy, we just put this dude through hell. He looked like fucking Super Mario. But I think they even, like, made him start closing down the bar. But anyway, I passed that fucking place. I'm driving. I keep seeing some out my window, and I'm like, what the fuck? And like, when you take the 101 way the fuck up, right? I mean, it's nice on Saturday night. There's no traffic, and it's a pretty drive down there because it's hilly. It's all rolling hills. You pass the part out in Thousand Oaks where they film MASH, the TV show. And then you get on like the, there's a huge chunk for like 20, 25, 30 miles where you're just like on the edge of the water. It's almost like the fucking PCH. You're just like at the ocean's edge. It's really cool. And there's like mountains and shit. And I look and there's just like a giant train next to me. I'm like, what am I, fucking Colorado? It's like a big ass passenger train. And the windows were huge. And like, I'm looking up, like people are just like looking down at my car. I'm like, this is so fucking weird. But, so I drive out there and she doesn't live in like a dorm. She lives in like this big apartment, just a big area full of apartments where it's mostly student housing. And I finally get to like where she is, and there's just like, there's music, there's this fucking cacophony of just bass and music coming in 9 different directions because there's just these fucking crazy loud house parties blasting music. I was like, holy shit. It's like fucking, this is literally Party Central. And fucking, all I can think is, just a little bit more and more indicators. And I'm just getting old and fucking tired of shit. I'm just like, I just opening my window and hearing the sounds coming. I'm like, it just sounds like exhaustion coming from everywhere. It's just like loud parties. People are probably like fucking keg funneling and doing all this crazy shit. I'm just like, I'm old and just want to go to sleep. I just want to like fucking bang this chick and go to bed because I already worked all day. And fucking, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, any other time, I'm like, oh, I think I want to run to all these fucking parties and see what chicks are, whatever. So I go to hang out with this girl. And then, like, so on the way up there, now I went to do stand-up. I left straight from stand-up, right? I went to work, and then I went to stand-up. I had 2 fucking cups of wine because I had to wait for Travis to get up, who didn't do, he didn't do so well. But I don't think he hasn't gone up in a while, so it's all good. At Westside, so I left at probably 8. So I had 2 cups of wine, and then before I got on the freeway, I got a little fucking bottle of Southern Comfort because it's Saturday night and I get fucking a little loosened up. But so, you know, I didn't like slug the fucking thing. It was like a $9, I call it Irish cop sized bottle. You know, I'm taking a little fucking sippy off there. I probably got halfway through that thing. So I get up there and I'm perfectly buzzed. And I'm just like, I haven't jerked off in like 2 days. I don't know how this is going to go because I'm like, now this chick's pussy is amazing, man. This is like really. This is no fucking amateur hour, this thing. Like, you gotta, you know, you gotta fucking be on top of your game. You can't be any geek off the street. You gotta be handy to steal, you know what I mean? So, we get up there, and then I start drinking a little bit, and, like, she starts her shit, and we start arguing, fighting, and, because she's just an asshole, and just obnoxious. Not as bad as last time, but still, I'm just like, hey, is this still happening? And, like, I don't know, I started getting some fucking juice, and I'm like, let's go, now there's a fucking, like, a frat house, like, right across, I mean, 100 yards from her thing, and I'm like, let's go to that fucking party over there, what are we gonna, we're just gonna, like, I wanted to fuck, but it's only, like, 10 o'clock, and I'm like, what, are we just gonna sit in your apartment? Like, let's fucking sit right now, let's go fucking hit some shit. She would not go. So, one thing leads to another, finally, she fucking just starts blowing me. We start making out, she fucking takes all her clothes off, gets on her knees, rips my fucking pants off. I mean, this is out of like a goddamn romance novel, and just starts fucking going to town. Man, this chick gave me such a fucking savage blowjob, just absolutely just like all the way back in her, like trying to make herself like puke. It was a fucking total porn star blowjob. Okay, like she's like looking up at me, like I'm not fucking kidding you guys. There's mascara running down her fucking face. Now I'm gonna fucking pause this. We're gonna do a Scorsese freeze frame right here. And then you're going to, I don't know why I have this pleading Mickey Rourke voice guy, but Luke, isn't that what you want? I mean, a girl sucks your dick. Don't you want her to gag and look all bad? Yeah, I do. This here's the thing. It was impressive. Her physical prowess of being able to take a schlong that far down her throat that hard for that long. I mean, this went on for fucking 8. I mean, you know a girl like the slob. You know when a girl loves sucking dick. You can tell. And she loved it. But it was a something to prove blowjob. It lacked finesse and nuance and passion. It was just very, like, fucking forceful. And I'm like, well, this is great, but can you fucking slow it down a little bit? And, you know, you got to spend some time at the fucking top there. And what's going on? It was very much like a Leonardo DiCaprio performance of a blowjob. You know, there was no fucking subtlety to it. And it's like, I wanted DiCaprio in fucking, sorry, I'm trying out material on the podcast. I guess I'm rolling like Jay Moore here. I wanted DiCaprio and Catch Me If You Can, and she was giving me DiCaprio and Gangs of New York. I'm like, honey, fucking, put a little bit more fucking passion and shit into it. It wasn't happening. So whatever. I start fucking. I get her into bed, and like, man, it was like, this sex compared to the time before. I love when this happens too. This was the equivalent of like the 68 Elvis comeback special for my cock. I was fucking rock hard, and I couldn't feel a thing. It was a perfect fucking mix of wine and whiskey. I'm like, oh, you're in trouble now, bitch. I fucking tore this fucking bitch apart. I fucked this shit out for like 45 fucking minutes. I mean, like, we were like, I was driving her fucking ass right through the goddamn bed. It was like, bam. It was like full fucking powers. It was like a fucking Mike Tyson like 87 fucking fight. It was fucking fantastic. All right. It was fucking fantastic. All right. This is another thing I mentioned. This chick has amazing SBH, shallow butthole. I mean, that fucking thing is right there. I mean, instant fucking access. It was like a fucking open manhole fucking cover. But, tore up, dude. Making so much fucking noise. In fact, it was like midnight or 12:30. And it was like really quiet. And like you hear people walking down the hallway. I'm like, there's no way they can. And I'm not a guy. I don't give a shit. I'm not like, I don't think I'm. I don't get off on it. But I'm like, oh my God. It's no fucking. Oh my God. It's like, I'm like, there's no way no one's fucking hearing this. But, so I really, I fucking more than made up for the last time. But, I didn't come. I didn't finish. And we fucking pass out. We have to pass out. We crash in this girl's bed. I'm fucking exhausted now, okay? Sweating. And, her fucking bed is the size of, like, the cots they sleep on in fucking Full Metal Jacket. Like, you could barely fit one person on this fucker. And it's against the wall. It's, like, tucked against her wall in the corner. And she's got, like, one little shit blanket. I mean, like, fucking Billy the Kid slept better than this. I was fucking freezing. It was really cold in this fucking place. And, I slept like, we probably fucking passed out 1:32. I slept fucking an hour and 45 minutes. I just tossed and turned all fucking night. So finally she gets up and goes and sleeps on this little ass couch. She lived in like a studio. It was like kind of a, you know, it wasn't like a total dump, but it was just a little, you know, college apartment. Keep in mind this girl's fucking 20, right? And, here's another note I have. I like fucking, you know, I talk about how I like fucking fat chicks. Here's why I like fat chicks. Because skinny girls, they have a pussy bone. Now, here's who else had this was the black chick, Jessica, had this fucking thing. She's skinny. They're skinny girls. And there's like this, when they're skinny, this fucking bone rubs against your like dick bone. It's like right onto over your cock. It's like where your part of your pelvis or something. And like, there's not some cushioning on there. These fucking things grind together. It still hurt. It's still fucking killing me. It's Wednesday. I fucked her Saturday night. It's still fucking, it's sort of like a fucking football player came up and punched me right above my dick. It's fucking killing me. It hurts so bad. That's why I can never fuck her more than like once a week when I used to fuck the black chick. Cause it used to, especially when she got on top of me. But like, cause me and the black chick would fuck for a long time. And after like 45 minutes, I'm like, I can't, like I'm in so much fucking pain. I can't even do this anymore. It would kill me. But, so that's why I like fucking fat chicks. But, I get up in the morning. Make sure, am I missing any beats to the story? I'm not doing this. I'm not going through this last time. So I get up and things were going well with texting and shit. And like, she was fucking, you know, I thought she was funny. She had a rotten sense of humor and shit. I'm like, maybe I could fucking maybe work with this chick. Who knows? And, Sunday, you know, she's on the, now it's rolling, it's like 11:12, and she's like up on her phone and just like not really talking. And I'm like, well, I guess we're not gonna fucking stay here and hang out and get breakfast or something. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll go. And I just kind of like got my stuff, and she's like, oh, okay, see you later. I'm like, all right. I kind of want to go home anyways, but I'm leaving and driving home, and I was just kind of I texted her something. What the fuck did I say? I was like, I don't know, something random. And then I was like, fuck, I'm like, I'm still horny, I didn't come. So she doesn't write me back for like an hour and a half later. And all I get back was, maybe it was the Southern Comfort. And I'm like, you know, fuck you. Fuck you. That's what you write me back. That's your fucking response for the whole night and everything that went on. It still wasn't good enough for you. The sex still wasn't good. I fucking tore your fucking pussy into fucking shreds. And you fucking came four fucking times. But it wasn't good enough because I didn't come because she was so upset that I was drinking. She couldn't fucking believe. I don't know what her problem was. She was so offended that I brought a fucking bottle of Southern Comfort and then I drank some of it on my car on the fucking way up. And I was just like, what? You're still, that's all you care about. For everything else that fucking happened, all fucking week we're all over each other and we get to fucking hang out. And all you can think about is how bothered you are that I had a fucking half a bottle of Stelco. Like, fuck you, you fucking bitch. And I didn't even fucking write her back. And I'm like, that's it. That is the last text. And I have not fucking heard from her again. That was Sunday morning till now. Nothing. Not a fucking thing. So I'm not writing her back. She could fuck off. Because then I'm thinking about it. I'm like, she is a fucking Woody Allen character. Like, she's like not a real person. Like, you wouldn't believe this girl if I had like audio of her talking and arguing with me about everything because she's a fucking nut. You'd be like, I can't believe, like, if someone wrote her and put her in a movie, you'd be like, nobody's that. Who's that crazy? No, this bitch is. Like, I remember, like, laying there in bed last week, and I'm like, we started fucking around, and we stopped, and she started arguing about some dumb thing, and she's just going off on this diatribe, and I'm laying there, I'm like, I'm in a fucking Marin episode. Like, I swear to God, for a second it flashed, it was like, it was just Marin laying in my bed, listening to this fucking idiot. We're both buck naked in the middle of fucking, she's arguing about, like, fucking George W. Bush or something. I'm like, what is going on here, motherfucker? But, yeah, so I think that's it for that bitch. But I'm working on getting a... I started a Flickr account, and I'm trying to get... Oh, fuck, I got to hit up Flexible again. I've been trying to get... It sucks, because I have to outsource all my social media needs or anything with the website to goddamn Luxable in Buffalo. And there's a three-hour time change, and he probably doesn't want to be bothered with my bullshit, because whenever I have a problem, I'm like, Matt, will you help me? And he's got to, like, stop what he's doing and go and fix my website or whatever the fuck. So I'm trying... I can't get my... Rusty's probably ripping his fucking hair out. Like, this is so easy, you dope. I tried. WordPress is fucking confusing, man. I don't know. Widgets and plugins and fucking... I don't know. All kinds of weird shit. But I'm trying to get it linked up so I can get my Flickr up and I can get pictures of these girls, which... probably get me in more trouble, but I'll get one picture of this chick up. She'll never fucking hear it, whatever. But so yeah, she was kind of a fucking... I'm like, fuck her anyway. She lives too far away. She's cute, but she's not worth driving no fucking 80 miles around for. So, and then while I'm laying in her bed, I met another girl up there on fucking Tinder, and she was fucking cute, big tits, big nerd, and shit. She's like, and then I was talking to her for a couple days, and she just pulled the classic California woman and abruptly stopped talking to me. And that was the end of that. I was like, well, that wasn't very fucking productive. I thought maybe I would have fucking made lemons into lemonade. But you know what? At least I gave this girl her proper due. And I fucking, last time I sucked, and this time I gave her the old fucking police baton in my fucking pants. Fucking bitch. The other day I listened to, I haven't heard this album from I Hate God, a band that I'm a big fan of, in like years. And, it was so fucking... I forgot how good this one was. Dope Sick, if anyone's... just, I'm sure... maybe Rusty knows. But, I was like... it just, like, made me want to play. The fucking drums are so... Not even just good, but just the style the guy had. Because I, like, learned how to play drums from this dude, basically. Which is why all my drumming is so awful. My old fucking band stink. But, I'm like, fuck... And then, like, it just got me missing fucking playing drums again. So I was thinking about, like, I'm like, I should be in a fucking band. Maybe I'll fuck around and see. So, like, my ideal situation would be, like, some kind of rock band. It doesn't have to be, like, crazy metal. I'm kind of down for, like, all kinds of shit, but nothing, like, no pop punk or shit, right? So my ideal situation is there's already a band, and, like, their drummer quit, and, like, they jam at the singer's house, and the singer has a drum set that was his brother's that doesn't play anymore. So, like, they have a drum set there that I could play on, because I don't have one. Hang on. And I could just come jam with no risk to me because I'm not buying a goddamn drum set. So I'm poking around on Craigslist trying to see if that's an option to go do that, which I know is a dumb idea because I don't even have time to do the shit I do now. All I do is fucking dumb stand-up and work out. But, we're shooting this weekend, too. I'm shooting on Sunday. We're shooting the bookie with Scott and Mac up at Pins. I'm fucking psyched for that. And you'd be interested for this. I got an email from Nate E. Adams, who wants Dude Bogues and I to shoot a video for the number 3 biggest pop star in Europe. This is all the information that we got. Allegedly paid some money. It's supposed to be next weekend. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it's pretty fucking, pretty interesting. I don't know. 2016 might be a very goddamn interesting year. We laid a lot of groundwork last year. I'm very curious to see where things go, but I don't know if it'll happen, but I'll let you know more. Sounds like kind of a big deal, so it's going to be a lot of fucking goddamn work, but whatever. Should be fun. That's on the horizon. But I'm poking around on Craigslist to see if there's anybody looking for fucking musicians. And, like, I know I've complained about this before, so sorry. Get ready to hit the fucking fast-forward button. I mean, just the West Coast punk and rock scene, it's just every ad after ad. Join a punk band, Asthmatics. And then, like, the picture of them, they're so... Any band... I mean, not even Buffalo, just general on the East Coast. It looked like they just got out of fucking work and got on stage. They're just in whatever their fucking clothes or whatever. I mean, sometimes people just wear like chains or some kind of dumb shit, but in general, they're just wearing their fucking clothes. Every picture. I mean, the band will have three pictures of the band playing because they're so concerned with their fuck the music. They want to look punk, and they got like a green mohawk, and like they have these fucking. They're all dressed like it's 1979. In LA and California. Punk completely evaporated after 1985. There's no fucking. It's like the same. The fucking Buzzcocks, the Circle Jerks, the fucking Bad Religion. Every motherfucking ad, the same like seven band, the Germs, the same seven fucking bands listed. I'm like, is there a state law that you are not allowed to listen to anything considered like fucking punk? After 1985, where is fucking like Quicksand? Where are any of these other motherfucking bands? No one listens to it. And they all dress like it's like a 79 Sex Pistols show with the fucking jean jacket vest with the sleeves cut off and fucking 90 buttons on it and crazy like fucking bright yellow and red checkered fucking skin tight pants with boots. And I'm just like, you guys care about the music? It's just shit. It's like bad Misfits, like Witch's Brew. Just shitty like three chord knockoff fucking early 80s punk. And I'm like, what is everyone's fucking problem? And I was getting so pissed I couldn't even like read it anymore. I'm like, fuck this, I don't care. Fucking do it. And then so I put up an ad and I'm like, listen, I used to play drums, I'm not that good, here's the bands I like, I'm down for all kinds of shit, somebody hit me up. So I got hit up by these dudes that were like a funk jazz infusion, which instantly already says Red Hot Chili Peppers to me. If you know anything about me, I do not like the Chili Peppers. That's a band I don't like. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. He's like, yeah, man, come practice. We got a place in Reseda. And I'm just like, yeah, no. And that was the only response I got. But I don't know if I got the right, if somebody wrote me back and it was just the right response, I would maybe give it a shot. I don't know where the fuck I would have time to jam and be in a band again, but I kind of miss it. I miss playing drums. But I don't know. I got enough creative outlets. What the fuck am I doing? It's not necessary to be in a fucking band. So the Golden Globes happened. Fuck the Golden Globes. Here's another thing where a cantankerous old prick where I sound like your dad. I can't stand awards shows. Like I said, recently, if I needed another nail in the coffin, it was watching, Dances with Wolves and realizing that beat Goodfellas in fucking 90 just because for like fucking totally fucking political reasons. Because it's whatever. I express my opinion very, very, very clearly, but so I didn't fucking watch them. And then just, I heard that like the Martian won for fucking best comedy. This is what I'm talking about. Like best fucking comedy for the Martian. There's like three fucking laughs in the whole movie. It's bizarre. I think even Ridley Scott got up and was like, I don't understand how it's a comedy, but okay, I'll take it. Because like. The weird thing is, I liked everything I saw this year. I can't remember another year where I saw so many movies and liked to completely loved so many of them. I mean, it was really critical, and it's hard for me to really fucking enjoy a movie. But, I mean, I liked fucking so much shit. But nothing really jumps out at me for, like, best picture, even best, like, performance. There's a couple, but nothing really where I was like, oh, my God, that's got to win. Like, in fact, like, more women honestly stood out more. Like, best actress this year for me would be way better to call, easier to call than, like, best actor. And all I could think is, like, I guess it's down to, like, DiCaprio for Revenant, which is just a fucking, I don't want to go off on a thing on that, too, because you know my fucking feelings, but fucking DiCaprio or, like, fucking Damon for Martian. I guess if Damon won for Martian, I'd be happy. I think he deserves it. He was great. He really ran the gamut. And that sometimes, like, one scene in the neck, I fucking love him, dude. I could go off on that motherfucker for 20 minutes extolling the virtues of Matt Damon. I don't know why he gets so much shit. No one seems to like him. Everyone thinks he's dumb. I don't get it. I don't know. I love the fucking guy. But for like best picture, it's like, I mean, like leading into the Oscars, it's like, I guess if Revenant won, I'd be like, all right. I mean, just for the sheer amount of work and shit they put into it. But I don't know. It's a weird year. But someone, the next day, everyone was talking about it at work. My workplace was really abuzz about it. And my boss is like, oh, you didn't see the fucking Ricky Gervais and Mel Gibson thing? And I was like, no. So I watched it on YouTube, and fuck, was that fucking hilarious, man. I don't know if you saw it. He's fucking with Mel Gibson so bad. So they're fucking with each other, and then he walks off stage. I don't know if you saw. Sorry if you already saw this, but Ricky Gervais leaves the stage, and Gibson starts going to a speech, and he says something like busting Ricky Gervais' balls. So you see Ricky like kind of come back out. He's got a beer. He's fucking with him. He's like, don't take my beer and shit. So he comes back out on stage, and he cuts Mel off. He goes, Mel, I have one question for you. I got to ask you something. And Mel's like, yeah. So you just see they beep it out, and you see his mouth move, and like two whole sentences go by. So I Google, what did he say? So he comes out, and Ricky Gervais on fucking live TV. He goes, what the fuck does honey tits mean? He's like, what does that even mean from when he got arrested and he called that cop honey tits? I couldn't fucking believe he said that to him. That was hilarious. I'm like, dude, he might fucking punch you in the face. He's a nut. But that was hysterical. Now that's kind of like, I wish I did watch it, because Ricky Gervais is pretty fucking funny, but I don't know if you saw that, but it really tickled the old Lukester. It really put a fucking smile on my face. Ha, ha, ha. I like a little good-natured jocularity. Yeah, Mel looked pretty good, too. That was better than I seen him look in a while. I was like, he could still play fucking Mad Max. What are they doing? Get him back in there. So what? So he talked about the fucking Jews and whoever else. Whatever fucking... I don't know if he left any minority groups not offended, but, you know, what happens? Shit happens. What are you going to do? I realized too, I forgot to mention this last time. I honest to God, I would go see Star Wars again. I would see it for a fourth time, which I haven't, I haven't done that since like 2000 fucking two when Maid was out and shit, Gangs of New York. But, I realize half, this is so weird. Half of the reason I like going is I like living off the buzz of seeing it with people that are seeing it for the first time again. I gotta like live off their fucking like, their first time seeing it, juice, because it, like, adds to my life essence. Did you say essence? Yeah, I'm a fucking Star Wars first-time viewing vampire. I'm just like, watch it again and enjoy it, and I'll absorb it by osmosis. What a fucking jerk-off. I should have printed this bigger. Bigger. Fucking shit. Talking about that. Yeah, David Bowie. David Bowie died. I don't really care. I'll tell you, I'm 30 fucking six, and I can't think of one song of that guy. I never. Here's the thing: I'm not like fuck him. I'm glad he's dead. I'm just like ambivalent about it. And people, I can't remember the last time anyone has lost their minds over someone dying this deeply. I mean, people are like literally, I'm crying. Like dudes that I know on Facebook, they're like, dude, just tears hitting the keyboard, bro. I'm fucking crying. I'm like, really? I mean, I know he's a famous guy and he was influential, but like, it's not like I saw all these people that saying they're crying. I didn't see him posting about David Bowie ever, like listening to David Bowie around. Nothing. He never even gets mentioned. All of a sudden he dies and it's like fucking Bill Murray fucking spontaneously combusted. I'm like, what? I don't really, is it that fucking profound that he's dead? I don't know. I liked him as an actor when he popped up and shit. He was okay, but, I just didn't really care. And I'm like, I'm thinking back. I'm like, I didn't like one fucking song from him. Ever. I'm starting to have a thing. You know, when a famous person dies, their song should be retired. You know? And that'd be so great. Like, if the Rolling fucking Stones ended, get all their fucking songs off. You know? We've heard them enough at that point. The fucking people are probably famous for 40 years. We got it. Real fucking barn burner and I'm still, lady, what are you doing? Why do you have three fucking car lengths of car in front of you? We're doing 10 miles an hour. You don't need that much fucking stopping room. I'm sweating my fucking ass off. I'm turning the air on. I get so hot when I do this show. I fucking sweat my balls off. It's fucking cold out. I'm going to go 10 and then work out and try to make it to this mic by 10 o'clock. Yeah, that's what I said at 10. I don't care. Fucking Chase was a Chase from Buffalo. Was at work. And he's sitting upstairs in the two windows on the second floor that look down at my desk. And he's like, what? Why so dark, bro? Are you tanning? And I was like, I don't know. I just look tanning. He's like, no, come on, tell me. Because he's kind of like a bro. So you're going tanning, man? And I was like, yeah, you know what I am. I don't care. And I'm just like, oh my God, what a fucking fag. And he like ran and had to tell everybody. And they were like, so what? And he's just like, why would you do that, man? I'm like, dude, I look like a fucking coal miner. I was white as a fucking ghost. I look like an asshole. I look like a fucking junkie that just got out of rehab. Like, fucking, I'm working out. I'm tired of it. I looked at that for months. And I'm telling you, I still have remnants of that fucking, that, like, sleeveless shirt tan I got when we shot that stupid Uber sketch outside in the sun. And my arms turned fucking purple from fucking from being out in the sun for like 8 hours or a whole day with a cut off shirt off. It's still I'm still tan tanner up to my shoulder cut off, and then less tan. No, even though I'm trying to like it looks it got so bad. I mean, it looked like I had fucking red sleeves on the whole time. And he was just tickled, fucking old Chase that I that's his name Chase. That I went tanning. I was like, fuck you, dude. I don't give a shit. But I do give a shit. I love him. Fucking Bill Burr does that fake cry when his feelings were hurt. Club W. Tanner. I'm running out of shit. All right. I've been threatening to tell this one for a while. What do we got? 20 minutes? Yeah, I got time. This one time, I don't think I talked about this on... I don't know if I ever told this story before. When we were like 15... We were giant. I told, like I said, I've mentioned it before, but we were Korn fans, way ahead of when they broke because we had a fucking promo disc of theirs before their fucking album was even out. This is back when they were on tour with Sick of It All. Still, that's how fucking Sick of It All, a fucking New York hardcore band. It was like Sick of It All and H2O and fucking Korn for the on their first tour out ever. So we fucking loved them, and for like that whole year they were touring. I think we saw them three fucking times. I think they played Buffalo, and we saw them in Canada. And Rochester, yeah. We drove, oh, that was such a fucking fun show. We drove to Rochester. Me, Dude, Bogues, guy was like 15 or something. Dude Bogues' older brother and his friends that were like fucking 19 or something. 19, maybe 20? Drove to Rochester because it was fucking Korn, Life of Agony, and then Ozzy, which is just fucking, I mean, I couldn't have had two more favorite bands than Life of Agony and Korn at that time. And there they are. And we fucking, I still remember, it was in this big arena, and we barely, I still fucking remember this like it's happening right now. The fuck, it was like a hockey arena. It was an Ozzy concert. Fuck ton of people. So, LOAs, they used to come out to their intro music was the fucking, you know, like when the lights go down, everybody cheers, and like their intro music would come on, and it was, A Fifth of Beethoven from the fucking Saturday Night Fever soundtrack where they like made the disco version of that classic song. I knew because I'd seen him maybe like a year before or something, and that they always came out to that music. And like we left late for the show, and we got lost and shit getting up there, and we fucking barely made it into the building. Me and Dude both were like running through that whatever fucking Coliseum that was, like running through the building because we hear that fucking music on. And like the second our feet got on the fucking arena floor, like that intro music came to an end and they started playing. Like perfect time. Like we ran in and we fucking started a pit, and like we opened that place up. No one else was like moshing, but like it could be because it was a tight packed floor. And as soon as we started fucking going off, like this giant circle opened on me and Dude Bogues just like owned the fucking pit for like the whole LA set. We went fucking bananas. It was so cool. And then Korn, and it was this weird thing. Like I think that was our third or fourth time seeing Korn, and every show you went to, no one knew who they were yet. And they're all opening. I mean, like the first time we saw them, they opened for fucking Megadeth and Fear. It was Korn, Megadeth, and Fear Factory, and everyone there was like, who the fuck is Korn? And then every fucking time when I saw these guys, I never in my life, like before or since, saw so many people instantly hooked on a band than fucking Korn. They'd be like, they would be done and everyone would be like, what the fuck was that? Like, people were just fucking raving about them. Like, it was so crazy. Like, they were just instant fucking hits, you know? So I still remember they opened with Helmet in the Bush. And then we fucking owned the place for that too, because I don't think anyone really knew Korn yet. We knew every one of their fucking songs. And that was back when they would play that first album. They play it almost right in a row. The first time we ever saw them, they just played like track 1 through 7 straight. It was fucking awesome. We were like, oh my God. Because then like just one after another. Because the sequencing on an album is so fucking good. I just listened to it to fucking Jim yesterday. That album still fucking holds up. It's one of the best albums I've ever heard. The original fucking Korn. That shit was from fucking Mars. You never heard. It started a fucking genre. It started its own music. Like new metal came from Korn. It was Korn, Deftones. That was it. There was no other bands like that. And they just both happened to come up at the same time. And Deftones, they're a little bit different. They're different than Korn. But still the same kind of vibe. And they were from Sacramento and Korn was from Bakersfield, you know? And where was I going with this? You're saying, what are you saying? So anyways, we're into Korn. So now Korn's second album comes out. Now they had a couple videos on TV. And they're getting fucking big. Like they were big pretty quick. Within 2 years, they were fucking blown up huge. And now they're doing their headlining tour for their new album. And they played this place, was Ogden Street Music Hall. It's gone through 5 different names, but this is where we saw most of our classic fucking shows when we were fucking kids. And we knew like the procedure. So we got there at like fucking noon. We're like, let's get there fucking early, dude. We'll hang out with the band. Like, no one else will be thinking of this. So we got there, and sure enough, there's the fucking bus. No one's around. They're parked in the back. I don't think the club is open yet. So they're just hanging out in their bus. And like, we pull up, and we're just kind of hanging out like a bunch of 16-year-old fucking creeps. I think there was like, fuck. I love to know who's. I know RJ. I think RJ was there who listens. I'm pretty sure he was there. And Naj. There was six of us. I think fucking Squiggy. A whole bunch of these fucking names. A whole bunch of us. And so the bus opens, and then these dudes get out, and like, it was Fred Durst, and it was back. He had his hair cut like the dude Head from Korn. His name was Head, the guitar player. And I thought it was him. We were like, so like, I swear to God, like, we kind of knew him. We saw him so many fucking times. They'd see us and be like, oh, you guys, like, they like knew us for like a minute. And I was like, and he had glasses and shit on. And I was like, what's up, man? Head, is that you? He's like, no, man, I'm Fred, not Head. I'm like, oh, so they get off the bus, and it's fucking Limp Bizkit, right? This is like their first week of touring ever. This is like, they just got signed. They didn't even have DJ Lethal in the band yet. They had fucking, this is the cassette days. This is like, what was this, 96, 95, 96? They had a 3-song fucking demo in these little cassettes that they made them so quick. They didn't even have their names printed. They were misprinted. They were like, it'll be like drums, guitar, and it didn't have their names on it. They fucked up the printing press, but they had to get them out because they got on tour so fast. They needed something to fucking give to people, you know, to get their fucking the band name out. I don't even know if the fucking cassette had any printing on it yet. It was awesome. I think it's probably a fucking collector's item now. We had a shit. Dude, they gave us like fucking 30 of them. When we left, they gave us a stack. And they're like, yeah, when you guys get to fucking school this week, give these out to people. Give them to everybody that listens to metal. We're like, fuck yeah, we will. So there's a Wendy's right next door to this place. We're hanging out with them. And they're telling us this story that the night before, and I think it was in Pittsburgh, they got in this crazy fucking fight with this dude after the show, and he came after him with a fucking bat, and I think they hit fucking Monkey, and they opened one of the fucking, it was a couple dudes or some shit like that, and they opened one of the jockey boxes and stole a whole thing of their fucking clothes, so the Monkey had to like go to fucking, like Hills and get clothes, because his fucking, all of his wardrobe got, or his whole like luggage got stolen, and they went and got bats and shit, went after these dudes, and like it was fucking nuts, they went in this crazy like gang fight almost. And they were still all like hyped up about it. They were telling us all the stories. Like, you wouldn't fucking believe. I can't fucking believe these guys, man. They had bats and shit. And then we went and got like fucking like pipes. And we're like, whoa. So they needed like supplies. So we took for like their stage show. They needed like spray paint and shit. So like Naj drove them and their roadie to fucking one of the guys in their roadie to like a hardware store to get spray paint and shit. We're like doing like runs for them. And they were fucking really cool. They were super nice to us. So the key part of this was, I was in a band back then called Self Infliction. This is before it became Sipwoods. And you'd be really surprised, especially with an awesome name like that, but we sucked. We were really bad. And we were just loud feedback, just noise metal sludge. It was very not commercial. I'll put it that way. I can't stress that enough. And it's our cars back there. We're just hanging out in our cars. The car doors open, listening to fucking like the radio and shit. We were all just, I think they were having beers. I don't know. We're just fucking hanging out in the back, just shooting shit all day. So we're telling them that we're in a band, and they're like, oh, let me hear it. So like we play them our fucking demo, and we obviously at the time we thought it was fucking awesome. Like, yeah, this is good shit, right? And they were like, yeah, cool. And this is like hip hop Limp Bizkit, listening to like, ah. So they're like, who do you guys listen to? So we start telling them about I Hate God. That we were I Hate God fans, right? Now, listen, I'm gonna play you just like 10 seconds of I Hate God just to give you a fucking idea that we made Fred Durst and fucking Sam, the guitar player, listen to the fucking I Hate God. And I told Mikey from I Hate God about this later, years later, and he was tickled by this. Don't turn the show off. It's not the end. I'm just playing you a quick sample of what I Hate God sounds like so you have an idea, okay? So yeah, so they're sitting in Nash's car listening to that, and they're like, "Oh, this is cool." So like, obviously they're now, even at the time, as naive as we were kind of like, "Yeah, right." But they're like, "All right, we'll check it out, dude. Like, give us your demo, and we'll give it to Ross." So Ross Robinson was like the fucking dude. He was like the hot producer back then. He put all these bands together, Like, he produced, so everyone went to him from then on out. He was like the Rick Rubin of fucking, of like, of metal. He's the one that, like, he's like the godfather of like new metal is Ross Robinson. So we're like, oh my God, like, yeah, dude, yeah, we'll fucking hook you guys up because you guys are so cool, and we'll give them the demo and shit, and like, hopefully we'll hear something. I'm like, yeah. So we're all like losing our mind. I'm like, dude, I'm quitting my fucking job, fucking dropping out of school because I guess we'll be fucking touring. I'm giving metal horns in my car right now. Because, like, I mean, we were like 50. We're like, probably not, but how fucking cool. And I think like our imagination just fucking ran away with this. But so we went to fucking Wendy's and ate. And they're telling us that now Limp Bizkit broke because they had that George Michael Faith. That's the song that like put them on the map because they made a video for it. It was on MTV and it fucking picked up because they did like a metal. Now, this first fucking Limp Bizkit, this three song. Like, they were, they, like, just that day they signed, DJ Lethal agreed to join the band. He wasn't even there. They're like, yeah, remember DJ Lethal from House of Pain? Like, yeah, he's gonna like, spin. He's gonna be, like, our fucking DJ and shit. And we're hooking up with him, like, later this week and shit. We're like, whoa, holy shit, they're all fucking psyched about that. Like, they were brand new, dude. This is their first fucking week of touring ever. And then they told us that Fred Durst went to high school with fucking Marilyn Manson. They went to the same school, and they, like, knew each other. He's like, yeah, and this is back when, this is when Manson was, like, in his prime, and he was huge. And he was like mysterious, and they're like Marilyn Manson's name is Brian Warner, and he was a fucking nerd and a goth kid that went to our school, and everybody beat the shit out of him, and he was like an art kid, and he's like, and I was like okay with him and whatever, but we were all like the metal kids that got our asses beat. I was like, holy shit. So that was like, and this is before like the internet, like no one even knew his name. We're like, we know fucking Marilyn Manson's name, where he went to high school. This is like hot shit. This is like hot this is hot metal gossip from the 90s. And so they're telling us about how they did Faith. They're like, yeah. Now, Faith wasn't on this fucking, I don't think it was on this three song. It was three different songs. And the original version of these songs are, to this day, they're heavy as fuck. They're pretty fucking, they were good. Like, we genuinely liked them. I mean, it was like rap. But this is before, like, obviously now this is like the fucking, the dawn of man. If this was the timeline of new metal, and it was compared against 2001 Space Odyssey, this is still the beginning when the gorilla is like hitting fucking rocks with bones and shit like that. So it was before it got really annoying, but it was a little bit of rap and it was really cool. We're like, this is fucking badass, you know. And he screamed way harder and it was way more raw and less produced. It was just fucking guitar and drums and a little bit of production, but no like 9,000 fucking keyboards and all record scratching and bullshit. It was pretty straightforward. It was fucking tough as fuck. So they're like, we did a cover of Faith, the George Michael song, and we were gonna make a video and shit. He goes, we never fucking played it before. Tonight's the first time we've ever played. The first time they ever played that song, we were there. And he's like, you guys gotta fucking open the pit and help us sell this shit. We're like, fuck yeah, dude. You got it. We did. Because they played, and the club wasn't even full. People were still coming in when Limp Bizkit went on. It was this band called, what was that fucking band? God damn it. It's gonna drive me crazy. They had that song that was like, they were Mexican. They were like Cypress. They were like Cypress Hill, but they were a little bit more metal. But they were like samples. I don't even think they had a band. God damn, what's the name of it? So I can like remember how the trumpets go in it because it had this trumpet sample. It was like doo doo. I can't sing it, but those guys opened first, and then Limp Bizkit went out, and the place was still only like half full because it's like there's only one door to get in. The fucking line was across the parking lot by the time the show started. So they were great. I mean, they fucking tore it up, and like we were like their boys. They loved us and shit. They're like, fucking good job, man. You guys fucking, we botched our fucking balls off. And then Korn played. It was fucking amazing. It was sold out show. It was packed in that motherfucker. That was a great show. That was so much fucking fun. And so like that, we're like, all right, like next time we come through, like we're all fucking hanging, like we'll see you guys, like next time, like find us or like find our fucking guys and tell them it's you, and we'll hang out backstage. So we're like, cool, we're fucking friends with these dudes. It's gonna be awesome. So after the show, now I'm in high school. I'm in like fucking 11th grade. Now, like, as I said, I am the son of the No Fun Airlines. That's the family I come from, the No Fun Airlines, where my mom didn't let us ever do anything because I was such a bad kid. I didn't drink. I didn't do anything. I didn't fucking smoke pot. But I couldn't go. My mom had a weird thing about me sleeping over. She didn't want me sleeping over people's fucking houses. I could never do sleepovers. She was like, no, you come home, no. I'm like, why? And she would never, to this day, I don't know. She never gave me a fucking reason. She was just weird about this shit. So I had a curfew at like 11 or some shit, or like probably 11, all right? And so I got to be home. So after the fucking show, I guess we're like saying goodbye to everybody and shit. And like back then, my gimmick, which never worked. In fact, it only worked once, and only this time. I would always ask people if they had backstage passes just randomly. I'd be like, "Hey man, got any backstage passes?" Because you know who used to do it? I think that dude Jankowski. This is a whole other ball of wax. But one of my friends that was like in a peripheral group of metal kids that were all always at the same show together. He used to do that all the time, and he'd always get them. Somehow he just had a weird knack, or he'd always end up with a backstage. I forgot about that until just now. It was Jankowski. He'd always get backstage passes somehow. So I started doing it. So I was like literally getting ready to fucking leave. I didn't. I Bokes probably drove me in that same classic white fucking Chevy that we almost got killed in Syracuse or whatever for that other story. I just happened to see Fieldy, the bass player, walking by. I'm like, "Hey man, you got any backstage patches?" He's like, "No, dude." He's like, "Oh, wait, you know what? Yeah, I do." And I was like, "Oh," and he pulled it out of his pocket. It was like slow fucking, it was like you shot it with a fucking, a Phantom 4K fucking camera, like ultra fucking slow motion. I was like, "Oh my God." And he fucking had, I had an all access VIP stage and crew fucking backstage pass. And I put it like on my shirt and I just was like, it was like the fucking, it was like fucking Wade's World when I'm walking off. And I'm just like tiptoeing into the back of the stage, and I just kind of like, the security guy's just kind of staring at me, and I just like slowly walk past him, and the guy's like, "Oh, you got a pass, go ahead." And I was like, and I'm like, I just walked everywhere, backstage, on the fucking bus. So just for the fuck of it, the bus door's open, I walk right on Korn's bus, fuck it. And I walk in, and it's like a bunch of chicks, and everyone's fucking drinking. And then Monkey sees, like, "Oh, hey man," I was like, "Oh, you got a pass, cool." He goes, so at the edge of the parking lot, back where the buses are parked, where we hung out all day, is now fenced off. And there's like a mob of people. There's like 50 fucking people waiting to see if they'll come out of their bus to get autographs and shit like that. This is what you used to do after metal shows. You used to fucking hang out and wait like this. And usually they'd come out, but he's like, "Listen, man, take these fucking..." So he had a whole bunch of like 12 packs of all these beers. And he goes, "Take these fucking beers over to the thing and hand them out and just give them out to the fans." And I was like, "Okay." He's like, "Yeah, maybe you want one. Go ahead. If you want a beer, help yourself." And I was like, "Holy fuck." I didn't drink, so I was like, "No, it's okay." So I'm hanging out, and then I see a Limp Bizkit guys, and they get on the bus, and like, "Hey, what are you doing here? You're on the bus?" And I was like, "Yeah, I got a pass." And they're like, "Cool, let's all fucking hang out." It's getting late now. It's like 10 o'clock. This is my, dude, this is metalhead fucking dream. This is like 15, you think I'm a fucking fanboy now? Can you imagine fucking 50, I'm on their bus hanging out, drinking, there's hot chicks around. I mean, I'm a fucking, I'm a big fat fuck with braces, and I have a haircut Bokes gave me where he would just kind of shave me and make me look like fucking Drago from fucking Rocky, but still. I'm like, this is amazing. And I have to, I'm calling my mom, and I'm like, "Mom, please," on a fucking payphone, of course. I had to get quarters. I'm like, "Fucking please let me stay out. You don't understand. I'm on fucking I couldn't have said anything dumber. She's like, "You're on some band's bus, and you're, no, they're probably drinking and doing drugs, and it's probably, no, you come home, no." I'm like, "Mom, I gotta fucking, let me stay out of my Korn's bus. It's my favorite fucking band. I'm never gonna do this again. No. No, you got 11:30, that's it. 11:30. I'm like, fuck! So I had to like tell like Korn and like Jonathan Davis, like, "Well, it was fun hanging out with you guys, but I have to go home now because my mommy is making me have fun fucking groupies and hot slutty Buffalo metal chicks that'll fucking eat your ass and shit and fucking, you know, do all kinds of heinous shit I'll never get to see because it's rock star shit. I gotta go home now and go to sleep and put my fucking... say our prayers and put my head on a fucking pillow." So I go to fucking school. I got in school and I was just like, the next day, like my, I was just like, no, that was probably a Friday night. Well, maybe Monday, whatever. I was like, you guys don't have fucking Korn, tour bus, fucking girls, hung out, did Monkey's beards, fucking lived this band, Limp Bizkit. I couldn't like, I couldn't be like, slow down. What happened? I'm like, I had to like tell everybody the story. I was like, I was out of my fucking like mind, and I still had the fucking, I kept the backstage pass and I put it in my Korn, the CD. Now, you know, fast forward now, that second album fucking stunk. It was so fucking bad. I just freaked out. I thought my thing reset. I liked it when it came out. It was like the Phantom Menace. It was such a bad follow-up to such one of the greatest albums fucking I've ever heard, honestly. Like, at least in terms of metal. Just sheer originality. And weird. I mean, it was like fucking meat. Like when Meatloaf came out, it must have been like, "What the fuck is this?" Like it was like nothing you never heard, and it started a whole genre of ripoff bands. Obviously, when the next fucking 7 or 8 years were awful, and we had shit like Godsmack and all this fucking crap that came after. And then Korn went to shit immediately, and Limp Bizkit. Oh, wow. Yeah, this would be like the postscript after like you see a biopic like Limp Bizkit went on to. So our postscript was We go to see Limp Bizkit that summer. I think the show was probably in like October, November. And then we went to the Warped Tour in like July. And Limp Bizkit was on it. This is when they're really starting to blow up. They were one of the bigger bands on Warped Tour. And they didn't remember us. We get to the thing and we're like, I mean, realistically, thinking now as an adult, I guess we thought they would have. They probably met literally 1 million people between fucking the night we met them and when we saw them in July. It was somehow we actually thought they were going to fucking remember us. And we're like trying to get, and we're all pissed off. We're like, fuck those dudes. They don't remember us. They're fucking sellouts. They said they're going to be our boys. We're all fucking dejected and shit. We thought like they're going to take us backstage again. No, wrong. But so, and then I mean, that $3 Bill Y'all album came out, and then they redid the three songs that were on. I think they only did two. They even dropped the third song. Oh, yes, Stuck. That was the song. Because Dude Bogues' old band, Something Wicked, used to cover Stuck. When it was, I don't know, they'd cover that song, but no one knew it or really knew who Limp Bizkit was, and it wasn't on their album. So I think back, I'm like, what? Why? What? Who would have even known that song? They it's almost like they were ripping it off. Because they're playing a song from a band no one knows. They probably thought it was their song. But Stuck was fucking, that was a good tune. But that didn't even make it on the album. And then they re-recorded the other two songs. What was it? It was Fake? Was it Fake? Stuck? And shit. I'm going to get a text from Rusty when he hears this because he'll probably remember it. But they were pretty goddamn good. And they redid them for the CD, and they just took all the balls out of him. There was like his screaming was at like one quarter, and there's all these records scratching and shit, and they just like fucking they really padded out the guitars. It didn't have any of the fucking rawness or the rage of the actual fucking demo version. Just like, oh, these guys are already, oh, it was terrible. And then like within 2 years, we're like, Limp Bizkit fucking stinks. And then they got huge and just. They got bad to levels I couldn't have possibly fucking fathomed. They were like they were like, we were Luke Skywalker and they were like our fucking Kylo Ren. They just like betrayed us and fucking killed everyone, and they just became the scourge of our existence. Oh God, I'm so, oh my God. But yeah, that was that. They actually fucking came out with a song. They came out with a song, Limp Bizkit, last year. That wasn't, I didn't do both. It was like, Limp Bizkit has a song that's not getting a ton of like. They just put it out themselves, kind of, and it's just like, it's not terrible. I was like, wow, this ain't bad. It almost has the fucking energy of their first fucking demo. I was like, what? I actually listened to the whole song. It goes to shit at about 2 minutes and 30 seconds in, and of course, that fucking fag Fred has to have Lil Wayne come in. Oh, it's so bad. The verse that he drops is so bad. It's like, it sounds like he made it up on the way in. And like, legit, now because they were kind of rap metal, I wouldn't even. He's got to have his celebrity fucking ass, like cameo, because he was so obsessed with, like, what famous people listen to Limp Bizkit. Remember they had that stupid Rollin' video, and they had, like, Snoop Dogg in the video and shit? So he brings in Lil Wayne, and he just drops this horrendous verse. And if it was good, I would have said it. I'd been like, you know, it's dumb they bring Lil Wayne, but at least no, it's awful. It sounds like he came up with it as he did a freestyle one take. And that was it. Whether or not the words rhymed or made any sense, it's fucking terrible. And then it goes to shit, but I didn't go and listen to the rest of the album or anything, but it wasn't terrible. I just love that we made them sit and listen to I Hate God and our awful demo, and they told us they were going to give it to Ross Robinson, and like I was just like waiting for my phone to ring. Stupid. Fucking dumb kids. But yeah, that was fun back then, man. We used to go to those fucking shows. That was the bomb. But fucking, yeah. Corn, we saw him in Toronto. I don't know. I don't know if I have any more fucking Corn stories. I think I might have covered everything. I'm sitting outside the tanning place, guys, like a real man. I'm going to go in and get fucking tan. But you know, I say this shit, and I throw myself under the bus, but it's like, I've been doing a lot of fucking, and I look good. I look all right with my clothes off. That's the thing. Like, I'm self-conscious like anybody. I don't look like a fucking white ghost with a shitty, like, my arm's a little bit tanner than the rest of the not tan. I look like a fucking ass. And I used to be, why am I explaining that? Who wants to hear about my fucking tanness? But I used to be able to, like, I used to be darker year-round. And the older I'm getting, I can't hold it. Like, I just look like fucking, you know, I look like a fucking squid. I don't even know what the fuck that means. Go fuck yourself! Y'all ready for this?
and pop someone back in his zone. We drinking gin till we pass out and fall on the floor. Is that your bitch? Cause she tell me she ready to go. She ready to go. Yeah. She ready to go. Yeah. Is that your bitch? Cause she tell me she ready to go. Yeah. She ready to go. Yeah. She ready to go. Yeah. Is that your bitch? Cause she tell me she ready to go. Yeah. Black is the motherfucking rock god. I'm so poker face, ladies going gaga. That's right, it's Freddie D, yeah. The public enemy. Yeah. You know the one that had Britney dropping to her knees. I don't give a fuck, yeah. I probably never will. Yeah. Bitch, get at me if that ass is like Jessica Biel. Who down with me tonight? You know I treat you right. You shake with me until they turning on them ugly lights. Yeah. Throw them fingers up and finger fuck the sky. She like the way we pump it, I call her pumpkin pie. I ain't about to lie, I came up in it high. You got a problem, I bust you in your fucking eye. Baby, you're a rock star. I know who the fuck I am. 40 million records later, I am still the fucking man. I came to rock. All she wants to do is roll. Now she at my house, sliding up and down that pole. They say rock shit doesn't rock anymore. They say the Hulk and Dumb and Pop, so I'm back in the zone. We drinking gin till we pass out and fall on the floor. Is that your bitch? Cause she tell me she ready to go. They say that rock shit doesn't rock anymore. They say the Hulk and Dumb and Pop, so I'm back in the zone. We drinking gin till we pass out and fall on the floor. Is that your bitch? Cause she tell me she ready to go. She ready to go. Yeah. She ready to go. Yeah. Is that your bitch? Cause she tell me she ready to go. What? Yeah. She ready to go. Yeah. She ready to go. Yeah. Is that your bitch? Cause she tell me she ready to go. Yeah. What the fuck is up? Fuck the world, bust a nut. I'm on this and that and such is ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Come on, rock, rock, rock with a real nigga. Everything I touch turn to gold. She a gold digger. Shots, shots, shots. Have a little liquor. Got the bitch taking shots like Reggie Miller. Lil Weezy and this bitch hoe. She want the green light. Let the bitch go. I go hard, I go nuts, I go schizo. And now they wanna copy me like tenfold. I can't stop, I won't stop. I got the pistol on me, I guess I went pop. Now I'm free falling, yeah, head first. Red hat to the back like Fred Durst.
They say that rock shit doesn't rock anymore.
Yeah.
They say the Hulk ain't done with pop, so I'm back in his
young
zone.
Money.
We drink a gin till we pass out and fall on the floor.
Yeah.
Is that your bitch? Cause she tell me she ready to go. They say that rock shit doesn't rock anymore.
Ay.
They say the Hulk ain't done with pop, so I'm back in his zone. We drink a gin till we pass out and fall on the floor. Is that your bitch? Cause she tell me she ready to go. She ready to go. She ready to go. Is that your bitch? Cause she told me she ready to go. She ready to go.
We drinking Russian vodka. About to take your bitch cause she ain't never fucked a rock star. I'm a fucking outlaw, packing me a chainsaw. I'm at the after party, about to start another brawl. I'm getting fucked up, so you can go to hell. I'ma need a ride home, I know myself. And you know I put it down like no one else. I'm the champ, bitch, I ain't gotta show the belt.
Rock shit doesn't rock anymore. They say